Are you ready to apply God's Word into your everyday life? Welcome to Ancient Mysteries Kingdom Principles Podcast. I'm your host, Rabbi Kurt Landry. Together, we will unlock the ancient principles of the Bible that empower your faith and equip you to move into greater levels of kingdom authority.
Couldn't get worse. Joe Biden exceeds all expectations. He has now offended France, our long-term ally. The president of France has recalled their ambassador. What happened, and what is it that Joe Biden is doing right now in the Asia-Pacific Rim that is creating global stirs? But this is nothing compared to what's happening in China. At the anniversary of the American collapse of Lehman Brothers, a collapse that almost destroyed our economy, China has a 10 times larger Lehman Brothers collapse happening right now. How will this affect the world? And what does this do in the cycles of prophecy for Israel and the United States? Let's find out. I'm Lance Wallnau.
And I'm Kurt Landry, and this is Prophetic Convergence. If there was ever a time to get real news, real time, and understanding what's happening in the world and biblically what's happening so that you can make good choices, you need to know God is faithful. God is consistent in this inconsistent world. Lance, bring us up to date. This has been a busy week. What is happening? And share with us now, particularly this, what's happening with France and with China.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the NATO alliances that the Middle East depends on. I mean, Israel certainly depends on the stability of the Western nations, where Great Britain, the United States, France, Germany. The premise was after World War II, an attack against one country is an attack against all of us. And it's a powerful deterrence. Let's say if Iran or Russia or China decide they want to do something, well, they pick a fight with one, they're picking a fight with seven. And by the way, warfare today is economic as well as kinetic or military. So you really don't want to shut off the financial codependence we have as a world economy. So what happened in France is particularly telling, because we've already messed up our allies when we came out of Afghanistan. We didn't let them know what we were going to do. We just left. And they were shocked. I mean, Boris Johnson had a call going to Biden and didn't get a return on his call for 48 hours. So the inside story is our allies are freaking out over the instability and unreliability of the United States in the post-Trump world. On the other hand, China, Iran, Russia, North Korea, what we're seeing now is missile testing and flights over Taiwan and all sorts of aggression, even accelerated by the gift of Afghanistan given over to a potential caliphate with $90 billion worth of our weapons. So what happened was, I get carried away in these rants. I'm just giving you the big picture. It's never been as messed up as this, certainly not with Trump. So what's happened is, France needs business, and they had a multi-billion dollar defense contract with nuclear subs worked out with Australia. But along comes Biden, and he's got the defense contractors in the beltway of Washington, D.C., and, you know, they got to make their money because they're not going to be able to milk Afghanistan for another $2 trillion. Which is the scandal in itself, the defense industry in the United States, how it makes a living off of crises. So they wanted that contract with Australia, and sure enough, Biden was able to negotiate some kind, or his people were able to negotiate, cut off France, we're going to do the business with you. And then there's just a couple of nations working together as a kind of an espionage ring to keep an eye on the Asia-Pacific Rim, which is kind of nutty in itself because we didn't even have good intelligence we could act on Afghanistan. I don't know what we're going to do in the backyard of China. But this tells you something, Kurt. It tells you that Biden ran on building alliances and being the adult. He's actually not the adult, not building alliances. And we're alienating all the people that we need to have as our friends. But I don't want to stop there because there's something else connected to this. And I'm always looking on this program for Where's the news that overlaps and connects between Israel, the United States, and the world? And it comes here. With the memorial of 9/11, we had the president and former presidents, George Bush particularly, as the president during September 11th. They met, and they were going to address, and this is so maddening. This flips me out. They're going to address terrorism in its current form. And what do? They come up with the fact that Bush declares that Trump supporters are the primary white supremacist potential radical.
Unbelievable.
Literally filling in this Marxist template that is being taught by the progressive Marxist Democrats, that everybody in America who voted for Trump is some kind of a dangerous insurrectionist, white supremacist, insurgent terrorist, when in fact they are the conservatives who are trying to slow down the spending, rail in government, not get involved with foreign wars that we shouldn't be involved with, and have traditional moral values that would preserve the family and protect the children. That's what Trump's base is all about. And these knuckleheads are on a warpath. But when George Bush, understand this, Bush was a Republican. He's closer to the Obama and Biden progressive Marxists than he is close to the base of the Republican Party. And understand this, this is like 80 million voters in the United States are being threatened by their government with this broad brush that they're potential insurrectionists. And the biggest joke that happened, I'm just gonna throw this in here because this is recent. They had a protest was supposed to gather in Washington about the 500 people that have been locked up as supposedly the January 6th insurrection, which was nothing more than the citizens supporting Trump going to Washington and standing together for a day because they wanted the Senate to make sure that the votes legal and not ripped off and stolen.
Absolutely.
Well, our intelligence community, I'm telling you, they were involved with this thing. They were embedded with a group called the Proud Boys and with the One Percenters. In other words, these potential militia groups, they had FBI agitators locked in them. They were stirring them up. I believe they're part of what created the breach in the Capitol that was done by this, I'd say there may have been a million people there, and it was about 500 or 400 that get arrested, but they're still in jail since January. No due process. They're being stripped of their rights. I believe there's abuse that's going on in Washington, in the jails. So there was a protest, and the protest was supposed to be a protest of people in solidarity to support these people that are locked up, to get them out and get them fair representation. This is America, my gosh. Well, nobody showed up for the protest. And part of it is the reason is that the people that had the protest said they didn't want to see any Trump paraphernalia there. Well, if you're not going to have people that are allowed to wear a Trump hat to go stand with other people that may be illegally being detained, they killed their participation with their own protest. But the hilarious thing is the police were arresting people. Do you know who the police were arresting? There were so few people there and there was so much military and police there. They were accidentally arresting themselves. Every undercover FBI they had two FBI people that were being arrested, and they were actually explaining they're there. In other words, the government is so neurotic, so paranoid about Trump, so afraid of Trump and his base, they're arresting themselves. And it's a huge embarrassment because nobody showed up really for this because I don't think you can get a protest that's going to work unless you really touch the populist outrage with how good people are being slandered. But I want to talk to you about some of these things too, because I mentioned the China crisis, that the capital markets are going to affect the Middle East, the United States. You have this Lehman Brothers collapse in China. It's 10 times bigger than anything that ever hit the United States. It's going to have a ripple effect globally. But I think we're heading into a period of instability financially. But you and I talked the other day about the feast, because we're in a strategic feast cycle coming out of that in Israel. And many of us that are in the United States look at those Israel feast cycles, and there's a Shemitah concept, and I hope we can get to that in your segment. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau, and I want to confide in you a challenge that I've had. You know, I believe that speaking the truth is one of the responsibilities of a Christian. I feel it's important to be able to talk about every subject we need to talk about. And I don't want to be edited by somebody else's political correctness or their religious belief system. But that's what's happening in America. There is a powerful, paranoid, propagandizing force that's been taking over media and causing us to all edit our conversations so as to avoid being censored or isolated or sent to some gulag in the internet. I've found a way to make this work. It's a new platform. It's called Liftable. It's a place where I can form the real underground, the thing I've wanted to do for years, a place where we can mobilize and work together, give you the news the way it really is, and tell you where we can meet and make a difference. You're going to want to join me there in the underground. I look forward to seeing you on Liftable TV. Welcome back to Prophetic Convergence. Rabbi Landry, would you mind clarifying for me, what is the relationship of a Shemitah year to this historic cycle of 20 years of 9/11? I mean, there's so many strange cycles happening right now. What's the relevance of the Shemitah?
Well, with the Shemitah year, you know, I think that we just entered it into it here at Rosh Hashanah. And let me just give you some facts, because I think prophetic convergence is about truth and facts and how it aligns up with the Bible so that you can make a good decision. Now, I come from a financial background before I went into ministry, and what you're sharing about China and Lehman Brothers and all this, this is totally setting up. If there was ever a time when you needed to have biblical financial instruction, it would literally be now. In fact, one of the things I want to share with you about the Shemitah year in the history is I've got a list here, and I want you to see it. It starts in 1916, where 40% of the stock market was wiped out with Germany and all those situations. That happened at a Shemitah year. And then the next Shemitah year, 30 to 31, 86% of the stock market was wiped out. 37 to 38, 50% of the stock market. 44 to 45 is the end of World War II. And we know what happened there. 72 to 73, 48% of the stock market. 79 to 80, which most of us were alive then, U.S. and global recession happened. 86 to 87, 33% of the stock market. 93 to 94, the bond market crashes. 20 to 21, 37% of the stock market. And of course, that was during the 9/11 global recession. 2007 to 2008, 50% of the U.S. stock market was wiped out. And 2014 and 15, sharp falls in the market. And that was at the end of the Shemitah year. So why is this cycle there? I'm not saying it's a biblical, so to say, cause and effect, but it is a timetable for us to understand that there is a prophetic convergence in finances. One of the things about the Shemitah year, I think that is so much of a warning, is look what Lance just said about what's happening with really the ridiculous decision of President Biden to disrupt what France was doing with these nuclear submarines in Australia, especially after Afghanistan. This is financial hostility, and no different than what AOC is doing, trying to suspend military investment into the Middle East to Israel. If we cease supporting Israel's military iron domes, then who's going to deal with the obvious nuclear threat that's coming from Iran? And we're just a few weeks out from them be able to develop these centrifuges. And we know now that General Benny Gantz in Israel is now meeting with the United States, and he says, listen, A, we're willing to talk. B, we want economic sanctions. But C, we don't want A and B without C, without a confirmed military response. So we need to understand that these things are happening. Now, Lance, I want to share this with you. On August the 3rd, I had an alarming dream that almost felt like I was translated back to 1964. And the Lord said, don't share this dream until, don't share the dream until Rosh Hashanah, which I did. Now, if people want to hear the whole explanation of the dream, I put together a 13-minute, synopsis of the prophetic significance of this dream. They can go to kurtlandry.com/dream. But let me share it with you, Lance. I've been waiting. You know, you and I have even talked off camera about this dream, but it involved you, Lance, because one of the things that happened on August the 3rd, I had it late in the morning. When I woke up, I was actually walking down a street in Los Angeles, which is Manchester Boulevard, where I grew up. So the airport is to the west of me. I'm heading east down Manchester Boulevard. A car pulls up. There's two men in the car. One is a government man and one is a media man. And as they drove up in a four-door Plymouth Fury, which was blue and silver, blue revelation, and also silver meaning redemption, as they pulled up, they said, would you please come with us? We need to know what you know. So now you have the business mountain, the government mountain, coming to, so to say, the spiritual mountain, the religious mountain, saying, we need to know what you know. So for time's sake, in the middle of Manchester Boulevard, there's this huge dome where the earth is swollen, but none of the concrete is broken. But the Lord says that the earth is at a tipping point because, you know, any time that you put a level on a bubble, it's either going to tilt one way or the other. It's a tipping point. And he says, we're at a tipping point. We drive in this Plymouth Fury 1964, which was interesting to me because this was a time when Lyndon Johnson was doing things with social change. We had riots in our cities. It was a really horrible time. But at the same time, in the midst of this, you have the first African-American who is gets a Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1964. So there's good and bad. It's all preparation in the spirit for the Jesus movement's going to come. It's preparation for the return of Jerusalem back to Israel control on June 7th, 1967. But I go into this mountain. It's like a tunnel. It's a quarter mile drive in. And when I do, there's a 1964 radio station that's there. And they ask me, we need to know what you know. Listen, briefly, this is what I did. I shared with them Ephesians 6, you battle not against flesh and blood. I shared with them that they actually need to put the priest in the king priest. They need to listen to the apostles first. And it kind of reminds me of what we shared about the other day, which I want you to share about when the apostle Paul gave an apostolic warning to a bunch of sailors and they didn't listen and it caused a shipwreck. That's what this dream is about. This dream is about listening to the men of God as well as speaking into the government, into the media. But the key with this dream, Lance, is that when I woke up, I literally looked at my phone and my phone binged. And when it did, it was you announcing that you starting a new program that you have saying, we need to go to the underground. It literally was confirmed by your Facebook announcement of your ministry broadcasting in the underground. I'd like to talk to you about that revelation you had about the Apostle Paul. We'll be right back. You're going to find out about the Apostle Paul and how to avoid a shipwreck.
When you discover your own lost roots, you are empowered with peace and you walk in healing and restoration, shedding false labels and destructive past influences that have impacted your true purpose. Reclaiming our forgotten heritage helps you uncover your own spiritual roots, empowers you with a renewed identity, purpose, and a deep understanding of the power of covenant. People everywhere are suffering from lack of identity. For me, discovering my own lost heritage empowered my purpose, changed my destiny, connected me to my inheritance, and gave me a strong self-worth knowing that I was leaving a legacy. Romans 11:25 says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. The mystery is life-changing, family-changing, culture-changing. The mystery transforms our faith helps us to better understand our Father and His covenants with us. The mystery restores our identity, our worship. What you worship, what you believe in, is what you will follow, and what you follow is whom you will become.
Shalom and welcome back. What can we learn from the old to be able to be wise to walk in the new? Lance, you and I had a conversation off camera just this last weekend about revelation about Paul and his travel to Malta, how he tried to warn the captain of the ship about some situations. They didn't listen, but it all came out. It kind of seems similar to what's happening now. Can you share with us this revelation of Paul?
Well, this is really important because I've only written two books. I talk a lot, so I have an awful lot of CDs and training out there. But books are a different kind of discipline. And in each book, I felt that God wanted me to talk about this incident because I was dealing with what's coming in the next period of history for the United States and the world. I only wrote in 2016 and again in 2020. And in both cases, I referenced this one chapter in the Bible. It's where Rabbi Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul, is on trial and has to go to Rome. And it's a very important story because he is in Jerusalem and he is in a crisis. He's in the midst of a political upheaval over his message. And he has a vision of Jesus speaking to him, who tells him, "You must appear for me in Rome." And so Paul knows his destiny is to go to Rome and to bring his message there before probably Nero. Well, he's going there and he writes to the Roman church. We have the epistles of his writings to the early believers. And he says to them, "Pray that I have a prosperous journey to Rome." Well, his prosperous journey was anything but prosperous the way I'd like to see prosperity happen. He gets on board the ship. And when he gets there, he gets a word from God. And it says something. It's at Yom Kippur, which we just had recently. It was on Yom Kippur. I found this out. And it's in verse 9 of Acts 27. The fast was over. And that meant the time of year was going to be particularly treacherous to travel in. And he, Paul, gets a word. And it's that, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage could be with loss of life, loss of cargo, certainly, and loss of the ship. We need to stay where we are and not shift out into another port. Don't change what we've got right now." Well, I was reading this and I felt like this is a word for America's prosperous shipwreck. And it's weird, prosperity and a shipwreck. But this is what Paul had, a prosperous journey to Rome, but it involved a shipwreck. Because, Kurt, what happens is they overrule him. This is what happens in politics. This is what happens. The captain and the centurion and the navigators, they had a vote and they decided to overrule the religious fanatic, the rabbi, because what does he know about? We know everything about the ship, the boat, and sailing. They take off. Kurt, they get caught in a storm and they lose their economic cargo. They're despairing they're going to die. There's no hope. And then Paul comes back up. He says, which is so typically Jewish, it's fascinating. He says, "Sirs, you should have listened to me." This is in the King James. I love it. "You should have listened to me." He has to rub it in that they weren't listening to his advice. It's like people watching Biden just self-destructing. There's a certain weird satisfaction. People that say, "Yeah, you should repent for having voted for him," because everything's political in the United States. But Paul, at this point in time, says a word to them. Then he says, "The God who called me to go to Rome told me, we're going to make it through this storm. Take heart." Because from that moment on, Paul was, in a sense, the spiritual authority over the vessel. He said, "But it's going to break up. This boat's going to shatter." And they did. They shattered off the coast of Malta. 2 weeks ago, by the way, they found the anchor. The anchor to that ship was just found by archaeologists. A fascinating coincidence.
Amazing.
So Paul is now, he's stranded on the island, but in the island, he ends up demonstrating the relevance of the power of God because the chieftain has a father who is sick with a bloody flux, like a tuberculosis. Paul goes in, he prays for him, and he's supernaturally healed. The local politics was affected by the move of God on the island. The Romans, you can imagine what they're thinking, the centurion with the prisoners. This guy, Paul, is a celebrity on the island. And what happens is for the next couple of months while they're getting ready to take off with another ship to Rome, while they're getting their life together, this was Paul's chapter to bring an expansion of the kingdom into a territory that was never opened before. It's almost like the devil tried to kill him so he couldn't fulfill his destiny. And God gave him vengeance on the devil by giving him even expanded territory. I believe somehow, in the midst of these world events, I believe for the people that are listening, Kurt, for you and for me, we have to see that God is in the shaking, God is in the storm, and if man's willfulness tries to move against the counsel of what God is telling the nations, God will overrule their foolishness and work out the expansion of his purposes. And I think this is the hope we have to cling to. The model is in the scripture for the shipwrecks, the new ships, and the expansion of God's kingdom and the blessing of God that comes on those that will walk with him. What do you think of that? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, Lance, it makes so much sense. And I wish people, you need to go to Lance Learning and order these books and the workbooks. You need to align yourself with God's ways. But I want to say this. This is the good news, and I want to pray this for you as you watch Prophetic Convergence. You need to understand the Shemitah year is in Leviticus 25, 20 through 23. And according to the Bible, every seventh year, the land of Israel is in Shemitah, which means it's released from its debt. It's canceled, so the fields lie fallow. I believe it's time for the Lord to take over into his rest. There's a spiritual principle that's taught, and it says we must labor to rest. What that means is we must make effort to press into God. As we seek God, then God seeks us. But we have to be the seekers first. I believe there's going to be divine intervention. I believe the things that you're seeing happening around the world in the nations of the earth, which are the inheritance of the kingdom of God, is that there's a rest that's coming in the spirit. I believe you're going to see in the midst of the rest a manifestation of disrest amongst the spiritual enemies of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I think it's key that this wreck that in Malta with Paul happened on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, there is a scapegoat, and that scapegoat for us, that is Yeshua. Yeshua is the one who will bring you into rest. There's no reason for you to be in disrest. And I want you to pray, and I want to pray with you. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, Lord, we thank you that he's intervening in the affairs of this world, that he is bringing us into that rest. He is the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He is where we find our rest. He is also the author and finisher of our faith, and he is the greatest rabbi that ever lived. And Father God, in Yeshua's name, we pray now, bring us into that rest. Let these resources of a prophetic convergence allow us to be able to be like those of the tribe of Issachar, knowing the times and the seasons of which we need to do, especially in regards to Jerusalem. Thank you, Lance, so much for this. Would you have the last word here, please?
God has a plan. God has a plan for you. You wouldn't be watching this now if you weren't part of it. Enter into God's plan, and we're going to see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Ancient Mysteries Kingdom Principle Podcast. Like what you heard? Then visit us at kurtlandry.com for free resources that will empower your faith to walk in greater levels of kingdom authority. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Kurt Landry Ministries. See you next week.